There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, finally arrived. It is the Election Day edition of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along for the ride this afternoon. The phone number, 343-0106. Same for the text, 343-0106. Puts you through to the show. Also, those talkback messages with the FM Talk 106.5 app, which, by the way, is free. It's pretty cool, even when it's not Election Day. Stream the station there. You get our podcast post there first. And in addition, all our social media feeds with breaking news, those are on there, so you can get updates that way, plus show schedules, all kind of information about the station and things going on around here on the app. And in addition, you can use the microphone icon to record a message and send it to the station, all the different shows on here. And some will react, some will not, but I would say most of them will react to your message. All right, let's get started this way. I said at the end of Jeff's show, the voters have got to get some sleep here, you know. And last night, so I was watching the, you know, the very intense. I don't know if y'all were up late enough to watch, you know, the Dixville Notch vote that goes down. And they had the person, of course, they were inside. I think they were inside somebody's living room or their rumpus room there where they're doing the votes. And so they're doing this. They're doing these votes. And the guys in hushed tones is saying that, you know, right now there are the six people here are showing up to vote in Dixville Notch. And so it's midnight Eastern time, so 11 o'clock our time. So I get suckered into watching this. So I'm watching this, by the way, tie ball game, 3-3 for Trump and Harris, 3-3. So Dixville Notch, it's a toss-up, just like the rest of the country, right? And I don't know if I've looked, is Dixville Notch, is there any kind of, as goes Dixville Notch, goes the nation? I'm not sure. Of course, I stayed up a little later to watch that first vote here in Alabama in Bonertown Gulch. I don't know if y'all saw that. I don't know if you have it's on your cable system or your satellite. You have the Dixville Notch, and then if you wait just an hour later, so you get, you know, Dixville Notch, New Hampshire Eastern Time. Bonertown Gulch, Alabama is Central Time. So you won't, and it, once again, it was a tie last night as well. So. I don't know anything to make of that. I do know that something we've been doing for, gosh, 15 years around here is this unscientific, before some, you know, somebody says, ah, it's not, of course it's not a scientific poll. I don't have a lab coat on. But we do this election cycle after election cycle. And I think it is indicative because most of us, unless you moved or whatever, voted the same place. And I think most people are creatures of habit. You vote around the same time every day. You're somebody who votes before work or at lunch or after work or something like that. And so it is interesting to me to hear what turnout looks like. Now, of course, I was listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. I listened to Jeff Poor and reading the text here. It looks like the overall, there are some exceptions, but the overall is pretty darn packed at polling places. So during Midday Mobile, those of you that vote at lunch, I'd love to hear from you as well. When I voted today, it wasn't, the parking lot was busy, but it was very easy to get in and out. It took no time. And but the count was up significant. Now, I can't compare it to the primary because for some reason, people just ignore primaries. I don't get that. That's your chance to actually make some direction out there. But it was, I think, the time I vote mid-morning, during the primaries, it was maybe 500 between the two machines there, the 500 that had voted. It was well over 1,000 today and about 9:50 this morning, something like that. So it was definitely busier at my polling place. So how about you? If you are not somebody who voted this morning, maybe you go out at lunch, let me know what you see out there. C.B. Carl says, Laura and I voted at Fisherman's Baptist Church in Bon Secours just before 11 a.m. She was 922 and I was 919. Pretty dang good for Bon Secours. Let's see. This Dan says, Sean, please explain to me what the amendments I just voted on meant. Need to know whether I made the right call. Well, Dan, I don't know where you are. So tell me where you are so I know what – did. Were you in Baldwin County? You in Mobile County? Let me know where you are so I can – because I don't know. They are different. So, Dan, if you'll let me know if you were – I think – both sides of the bay would have been voting on that, the North Alabama, to sell the land, to be able to do that. I don't vote on those. I you know, when we, because we have the our system here, you have a system in Alabama where if there's going to be a move, something done on the other end of the state, it's a statewide referendum. When I don't understand those or don't have a dog in the hunt, I do not fill in the Scantron. I don't, because I don't know it. Here in Mobile County, of course, we had pay-as-you-go. That was the big one on there. Baldwin County, you know, we talked about it, I think, a good bit yesterday. And you have these districts for, I don't have it in front of me, it's White House Fork, Bon Secours, and I think Stapleton. And if you were voting yes in that, you were voting to make it harder to have those communities annexed into the metropolises that border them. So those were a couple of those. So Dan, if you can let me know where you live, yeah, I can help you with that. All right, let's see. This is retired on the text line. Said, voted 11 today, took me 15 minutes on Dolphin Island. So there you go. I heard like it was like 30 people in line at Dolphin Island this morning, and I said, that's pretty good. I mean, as a percentage of Dolphin Island, that's pretty good. Let's see. David says there's been a suspicious absence of Trump signs at polling locations, none out at none at Our Savior and none at St. Philip's Neri. Don't know. I've seen plenty of them. I don't know. Let's see. Wally said Belle Forest, Baldwin today, 11:14, 936. Comparing. So today at 11:14 at 936, and on in 22, on the same, you know, voting day in 22, it was 615 at 10:19. And back in 20, this is good, man. Wally, I like this stats here. Back in 2020, on 11-3 of 2020, at 934, there were 934 votes at 228. Looks like we's be kicking backside here. So, yeah, comparing today with 20, so 936 today, 934 back then. Okay, good. Thank you, Ollie. That's actually pretty detailed. I appreciate that. Let's see. Michael says 43-minute wait in Stapleton this morning. Man, is that so, Michael? What's that like? Do you usually vote in the morning there? Is that normal? Is that new? Yeah, kind of compare it to, you know, like Wally did, compare it to in the past. It's Dan and. All right, Dan in Midtown said Midtown Voting Center was a retirement center right near Little Sisters of the Poor. Yeah, that's the how do I not remember the name of that place? I know exactly what you're talking about. No wait at all when you went in. So that's Dan. Dan's saying Mobile. So yeah, the pay as you go. Dan, I did not vote on the Franklin County thing because I don't have a dog in the hunt. It's just a habit I have when I don't know about something. I don't do it. I don't make any kind of fill in the blank, but on pay-as-you-go, if you voted yes, that's continue with the pay-as-you-go system we've had in Mobile County. Remember, it was actually a pretty cool article Lanyap had 2 weeks ago, maybe? I think 2 weeks ago, and pointing out that the history of pay-as-you-go started with the causeway, with building the causeway, and continues. I like it. I mean, pay-as-you-go, to me, makes sense to, you know, to not have to borrow a bunch of money and have a bunch of bond issues for projects, but still getting projects done for the people. I think it's a good thing. Let's see here. Ron, the nurse from Wilmer, says, quick and easy voting in Sims. I've said that earlier. Said, praying for a red wave, and said, I didn't need a sign. You didn't need didn't need what sign? Trump sign or what sign did you not need? The signs can get pretty cheap now, right? Today, the value on those signs is dropping by the end of the day. I mean, most people want to collect your signs. Hey, coming up this hour, I think we're going to get our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com with us on the show. Also, we're talking to April Marie Fogle in hour number two. And yeah, a reminder, coming up tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, our live coverage of election results from right here at FM Talk 106.5 at Facebook, on Facebook from 7 to 8, and then on the radio and Facebook after 8.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
That looks better. I guess, I don't know, the Russians or the Chinese or the Sri Lankans or somebody had slowed down the text, and then they all came flooding in. Good. So I'm not the only one familiar with the first vote in the state of Alabama. Of course, in the Eastern time zone, we know it's New Hampshire and Dixville Notch here in Alabama, Bonertown Gulch in Alabama. So good. Good to see that on the text line. 343-0106, 343-0106. There's a lot more of these counts coming in here, so let's see. Unnamed texter. No, this is Jason. Okay, thank you, Jason. Voted at 11 a.m. off Overlook, and there had been 705 ballots cast. Let's see. The Fire Dog. What's up, Fire Dog? Said 30-ish people in line at Three Circle Church in Fairhope. Vote count was over 1,000 by 1140. So, Fire Dog, that's pretty good for that. Is that pacing higher than normal compared to, you know, in the past? Randall, if there were six people voting in Dixville Notch, I'm calling voter fraud because the population is four. Have we checked that? Maybe it's increased. Maybe they had some resettlement going on there. Let's see. This is unnamed texter. Just voted at Gulf Shores, St. Andrews by the Sea. I was 664. So, texter, how is that compared to voting there in the past? Does that seem busier than normal? How is that? Dalton, thank you. The research department done here. Dalton points out, okay, Dixville Notch in 2020. Okay, so in 2020, Dixville Notch went 5-0 for Biden. And I think they talked about it last night. Which we can get back into my rant. So that happened, and then the Kamala the rally thing last night goes late, and then Trump comes on. It's like 12:15. Trump, let's get this stuff wrapped up earlier. You don't want tired voters. You keep people up way too late. Both parties, shame on you. All right. Dixville. So Biden said Dalton wrote this. Said Dixville Notch went to Biden 5-0. So, Randall, that's when the population was 5, before it went to 6. That was in 2020, of course. It went 4-2. Okay, so, you know, maybe what happens is some years, you know, there's residents of Dixville Notch that just don't vote. Said in 2020, Dixville Notch went 4 for Hillary, 2 for Donald Trump. So there you go. So it is not a indicator, right? Oh, and 1 for Gary Johnson. All right, so that was... That was 5. No, that was 7, wasn't it? It was 7 voted in 2020. Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. And 1 Mitt Romney. Oh, and 1 Mitt Romney. So it even was more. So in 2020, in Dixville Notch, 4 Hillary votes, 2 Donald Trump votes, 1 Gary Johnson, and 1 Mitt Romney. In 2016, Dixville Notch split Obama-Romney 5-5. That's back before they lost population. There were 10 then. 5-5. And in 2012, everybody turned out. Or maybe the cold has gotten those people and they've lost some population. In 2012, it was Obama 15, McCain 6. And in 2008, Bush won Dixville Notch, both elections he ran. So there you go. Now, can you get me the stats on Bonertown Gulch and see if he can? Let's see. Maximus, my man. I said, ho-hum, just another day where the future of Western civilization hangs in the balance. Do I think our republic goes, one way with Trump winning and one way with Harris winning? Yes. This is on both sides, when they say this is the there's never, yeah, there'll be no more elections. This is the end of civilization. I don't, Dalton was playing the clips from when Trump first won. And the liberal pundits out there screaming this was the end of everything. Nothing, you know, democracy was dead. And all, come on. And for the Democrats to say that if Donald Trump wins another term, this is it. It's going to be fascism and there's not going to be any more voting. What did Oprah say last night? That this was your last chance to vote ever or something? Tell that to the Democratic campaigns that have been fundraising and getting their ducks in a row for the next presidential cycle. Just tell them that there's not going to be any more voting. Now, Ben says if you thought the Bunnersville Gulch vote was intense, then you should have seen the coverage of Cooter's Valley. Now, is Cooter's Valley, is that central time zone? So if Dixville Notch is eastern time zone, Bonertown Gulch is central time zone. What about Mountain? Is that where, that seems like Cooter's Valley is a mountain. Is that like in Colorado or something? Help me there, Ben. Let's flesh that out. Pat says I didn't see any Trump signs on Paget Switch or at the Bayou Civic Center either. I noticed that earlier. I don't know. That's weird. I saw those. I saw, I guess, just like a normal amount of Trump signs and normal amount of Harris signs when I went in. Today, Pat says, okay, so that wait in Stapleton this morning was more than in years past. Okay. Jim B. What's up, Jim B? So I've been in my polling place in Fairhope twice today. Now, wait a sec. Oh, here's the rest of it. Been to my polling place in Fairhope twice today. Line was 150 to 200 yards long outside the building. Never seen that. So big turnout there. This Shriners Temple in Schillinger at 11:25, it was about a 30-minute wait in line, which is about twice as long as I had to wait in previous elections. There we go. This is what I'm talking about, y'all, because we're comparing and contrasting. This is the Gulf Coast girl. Hey, Gulf Coast girl. Said, we voted on Underwood Road in Foley at about 11 o'clock. We were in and out in 20 minutes. Good crowd, but doable. This is coming from, let's see, I'll get this last text from this person. Said, this is my prediction. Unnamed texter. Y'all give yourself a handle here. If you haven't before, just throw, you know, a nickname, first name, something like that in there. But this unnamed texter said, this is my prediction. Trump wins 271 by winning Wisconsin, Nevada, and New Hampshire. He loses all the other battlegrounds. Really? So you think, New Hampshire, I don't have, but whiskey, and I think he may win Wisconsin. Nevada was, that's interesting because I think Nevada was supposed to be better for Harris. Arizona was, looked better for Trump. Now that's been about a week ago that we kind of digested that with Cameron Smith. But you think, okay, that Trump wins Wisconsin, Nevada, New Hampshire, loses all the other battlegrounds. So he loses Georgia, loses Pennsylvania, loses Michigan. That's your prediction. Okay. Trace said, I've been driving all over Mobile County. I hadn't noticed there wasn't any Trump signs out at any, and I've noticed there wasn't any Trump signs out at polling places. I voted at the Holland Island School and there wasn't any Trump signs. I don't know. Is that the Trump campaign's fault for not getting them out there? Michael says 45-minute wait at Timber Creek at 7 this morning. Backstrap Stacker chiming in about the Gulch, we'll just call it from now on. Mr. Plott said, if after the election you could get every voter sign out of someone's yard for the wireframe in the state, just how much money would that wire be worth in scrap? Just wondering. I might just have to do some ciphering of my own. And, you know, my friends, I know they listen up at Dean's Scrap Metal up in 8 Mile. What do you think? If we got all the wire from the political signs, what would that be worth to y'all? Well, what's the price going on that, you know, just bulk wire? What would that be? It's just, it's not steel. It's just, what is it made out of? It's not aluminum. And then also Mr. Plott asking, any word from Keister's Wedge? I don't know. Keister's Wedge, I think, in the Pacific time zone. We'll have to look on that. There we go. Craig says, via on Dolphin Street, line outside the building this morning. Never seen that before. Jared, not sure where he saw 30 people at Three Circles Church because I just left there and the line was to the street. But, you know, Jared, that's the thing. You can hit it at different times and get, you know, people kind of show up. I think we're creatures of habit, right? Who's sending me something about, well, I'm familiar with Dixville Notch. I am. I'm just saying that a lot of people don't know about Bonertown Gulch. just trying to keep it, you know, Alabama-centric here on the show. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. More text, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this election day. Glad to have you along, and we'll get to more of your text here. People commenting on, generally, with just a few exceptions, that turnout is busier than the last presidential cycle. Lord knows, like, a Sunday morning would be busier than our primary cycle we had before. I wonder where we'll look at. You know, the number of voters in the United States, I saw something that said, where was it, how many voters they thought would come out. Was it 100 and, somebody said like 110? Yeah, 150 million. They said Election Day, I said this year up to 150 million Americans may vote in the U.S. presidential election. Which is interesting because those numbers just dwarf what comes out in primaries. We'll see if we get 150 million, but out of the number of registered voters, I think like 160 million, 170 million, something like that. Somebody help me. It's like, can we Google that? It's between 160 and 170, I think, is what it was last time I looked. So this is saying that 100, there'd be something. If 150 million came out, be interested in that. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson. Here after the election, you may start thinking about maybe Christmas coming up, doing some gift buying. Told you how much I love my e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. 2 years plus now riding that bicycle. Love it for getting around the woods stealthily, but it's really become a thing that I use more for exercise and just getting out and having fun. And the e-bikes, yeah, you can ride them all electric all the time. I think the most fun for me is just to have a little backup from the electric and ride the bike. You get more days on the road, get more exercise, and it works out great for me. E-bike selection. Back when I started talking to Clint about these, there were 50 in stock at any time. We have 50 e-bikes ready to go for you to take a test ride. He's up to 75 of those now, so a bunch of different makes and models. Find the right e-bike for you. He'll let you take a test ride, see what it's all about. Find the right bike for you. He also has just gotten the new shipment of Denago hunting e-bikes in with the big 4-inch fat tires on them, the 750-watt motor. He has all the accessories that go on him as well. Talk about the panniers and all the, you have a place to put your gun, you have a place to put your water bottle, you put your cell phone, whatever. You got a place to put those on the bikes. He's got all that. Plus, importantly, as we protect our noggins, he's got a great selection of helmets and helmets that actually are comfortable enough to wear, like the one I got. It's, you know, it doesn't like drive you crazy. He has a big selection of those e-bike rated helmets in store right now. Plus, he's had a new shipment of the ladies' comfort and cruiser bikes are in assorted colors. They're in stock, and he's accepting Christmas layaways on all bikes and e-bikes. And in addition, it's a good old fashioned. He's a buddy of mine, Mobile guy. His shop's here, locally owned, and they do that old thing, you know, where they work on your bike. So even if you didn't get, if you got your bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, you can bring it in quarterly to get the work done on it. But even if you didn't and you need repairs and tune-ups done on your bike, if you've been like, where's the bike shop to get that done? It's Adventure Earth Bicycles at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris, online at adventure-earth.com. Everything inside to get you outside. All right, we'll take some phone calls here. Let's go first to then we'll get back to the text. Matt is in Sims. What's happening, Matt?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Matt.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I'm just, I want to make a kind of a, I say a joke, but not really a joke. But I know we've talked about this before for previous elections. I really think today should be a national holiday for everybody. I know that sounds awkward, but you have so many people that are either involved auxiliary-wise, like poll watching, you know, canvassing, people that really, you know, step it up for election day for their candidate, whether it's a local or national candidate. But to me, this is like college game day as far as coverage. You know, I mean, I'm not too much younger than you, but I started really hitting it hard during the Bush Gore election, mm-hmm. as far as following in it. And ever since then, I have tried to take off every single election day, or I've been lucky to be scheduled off, and it's like following like college game day. There's so many different viewpoints, and all the news network stations are covering it in so many different ways that come the afternoon time when the first polls start closing, I don't want to go do a damn thing. I want food already at the house, or I'm going to get it delivered or picked up, because you're fixated on that TV until 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, unless it's being called earlier, mm-hmm. you know, like if it's a landslide. But like during 2016, you know, when the table turned, when they totally didn't expect the outcome that happened with Trump, I mean, it carried on late into the hours. And then, of course, 2020, we didn't even have a decision for several days, and things just started changing overnight. So I just think
it mandated? See, like around here, you can go vote
I'm not
if you want to.
Mandate it. No, I don't mean that. It's just like wishful thinking, like, hey, the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, nothing's getting done on Iron Bowl Day. I just think it should, you know, it would be cool if it would just be considered a national holiday. I mean, look what the school system did today, virtual learning. Yeah, we all get it.
Well, the reason, you know, too, is a lot of those polling places, right, like one where I go to, they use the school.
That's true. They use schools or they use churches. Traffic's up, you know, traffic's being all snarled up. I mean, it's just there's so many things that are going on Election Day that I just, like, it would be cool if they would consider it being a holiday, you know. But I'm fortunate in my place of employment that even if I am on duty, you know, we make all accommodations so everyone does have a chance to vote, or your person will hold over for you while you're in the work.
Yeah, that's the way
early.
It should be, I think. I don't like when there's laws put in to do that, but when individual people in the, you know, the free world decide that, hey man, yeah, you want to go vote, you're cool,
yeah,
somebody will cover for you, or we'll you know, make it up later. So
exactly, I'm glad I don't try to do anything productive today other than just follow the results.
Well, that's good, because I get it. I'd be doing the same thing, I guess, if I didn't do it for a living. And hopefully you can spend some of those hours with us tonight. We'll start our coverage here on Facebook at 7 and on air and on Facebook at 8 tonight. So we'll be doing.
Sure will.
All right.
Y'all
Matt,
have a good one.
Hey, thank you, Matt. That's Matt and Sims checking in. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. Let's see. Satsuma update. What's up, Satsuma? Speaking of which, got worked on my Satsuma trees yesterday. Getting them ready for if winter ever arrives. I'll put more mulch out. And didn't let if Bill Finch is listening, the mulch is all away from the trunk. I leave the donut in the middle. I did my mulch on my Satsuma the right way. But all right, let's see. A couple hundred people in line in Satsuma, moving fast. They must have brought Chick-fil-A staff to keep it moving so well. That's, you know, that's a great thing. If you could take, I think in any kind of business, I wonder if there's not a how-to book, how Chick-fil-A gets it done. You know, it could be whatever other widget you're making, but they got it going. It moved quickly at my polling place today. Unnamed texter said, just voted in Barnwell. 4 years ago, I stood in line 45 minutes. Today, I walked in and voted in 2 minutes. Okay, this is interesting. So this is something different. Was it the same time of day 4 years ago, unnamed texter? You know, did you kind of generally the same time of day? Because that's interesting. There's somebody who says it was not busier than normal. There's a few people who have said it's not. Let's see. Voting at Sarah Land Civic Center took me about 15 minutes. Mid-morning's been very steady all day. Okay. Now, T-Bone and others are helping me. I don't know. Some of these I can't. Okay, you think it's the. I can't. I don't know if I can say that. I'll say it this way. So T-Bone said he believes we're wrong. It's actually Teetsburg Peak, the first voting in Mountain Time Zone. So thank you. Teetsburg Peak. And let's see, Jason, Sean, what's your take on Black Votes Matter, and is it all about us signs? Seems very sketchy to allow those on school property. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Black Votes Matter movement. Is that something national, or did somebody just put the sign up or something like that? Okay, this texter earlier who predicted Trump wins 271 by winning Wisconsin, Nevada, and New Hampshire, and he loses all the other battlegrounds. And I commented that Arizona actually looked good for Trump. He said, Arizona is shot through with fraud. I don't consider Georgia a real battleground. So, yeah, he wins Georgia. But it is. Georgia is a real battleground. Then Pennsylvania and Michigan, too corrupt to win. I think the Keystone State's going to surprise you, texter. And it is, you know, it's interesting. I have familiarity with the south central part of that state. So my mama's people, that's where they come from. Farmers from south central Pennsylvania in the Allegheny Mountains. And my cousins and those, that's what when I saw the first time for Trump, that was my insight that something was happening. I got cousins who are a couple years older than me. One's probably 54, one's 56. But great guys, love my cousins, but they were never really politically engaged. And when I saw them in the first run for Trump get engaged, I said, something different's happening here. And obviously that's anecdotal. Those are just my cousins. But I said, you know, maybe there's a lot of them around the country, and there definitely were. They got in and voted. I also think that Philly, you know, you've got two big metro areas in Pennsylvania. You got Philly, you got Pittsburgh, and that's where the rallies that went way too late last night came from. But there's a lot of votes outside of there. My man Cameron Smith is checking in here. Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation joining us now to talk about this. Cameron, you there? Did we push all the right buttons? Hey, man, I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm getting There we go. There, Cameron, now I press the right button. There you are. You said you just were in Pennsylvania?
I was in Pittsburgh. I decided to go fly up and see what campaign season looks like in a swing state versus a red state.
Right.
And, man, it is way different to the point of being overwhelming.
Well, I mean, other than my mercenary part of it, being jealous that I'm not running a broadcast facility in that state with the amount of advertising that must be running up there, what really stood out to you? What was overwhelming?
So I talked to the people, and basically everyone I talked to is from Pennsylvania, from the Pittsburgh area, said there are so many rallies, so many things, so much advertising, it's hard to focus. And so most of them had already kind of made up their mind, and then they just tuned it out. But I watched the World Series in the sports bar, and I saw the World Series and only political ads. There were no ads for cars or, you know, apparel. It was political ads, one after another, different races. And it was so hard that I am a student of politics, and I couldn't pay attention to which race and which political alignment the candidate had. Obviously, I understood the top of the ticket, but by the time we got down to the state races in Pennsylvania, I couldn't really tell you who the Democrat was or who the Republican was, because it's a swing state, so they try to appeal to everybody.
Yeah, and that is an interesting part of it. I do want to talk to you top of the ticket. Then I do want to look at the Senate landscape and the House landscape out there. Top of the ticket, Pennsylvania. So this texter that was just texting in was talking about that Pennsylvania, you know, is too corrupt or something like that, which I don't know specifically what they're saying on this election cycle. But I really do think Pennsylvania is in play. And I think if you had to ask me right now, I think Pennsylvania does go to Trump.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair assessment. The way I kind of look at it is if Pennsylvania goes Trump, I think there's a very good chance he gets Georgia, too. I think Pennsylvania is probably a little bit more of a toss up than Georgia. I think Georgia, though it's now a battleground, I feel relatively confident that Trump narrowly wins Georgia. If he wins Pennsylvania and Georgia, I think he's got a really good track to the presidency. If you asked me a week ago, did I think Trump was in good shape to win? I would have said absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, what happened is the Republicans are starting to say, this looks really good, this is positive. Democrats started freaking out. And the thing that Democrats are really good at is the ground game, is going and knocking on doors, saying, hey, you know, I'm your neighbor. Would you consider voting for the candidate I support? That's really powerful in swing states because everything else is just kind of noise. And I think this is the narrowest election we're going to see in a long time.
Why are Republicans, just in your estimation, if Democrats are good at that ground game, the door knocking, why aren't Republicans?
Because we are just not into organization. The easiest way to think of this is Republicans don't really like doing things together. They want freedom, right? We are about liberty. We want you to be free, do whatever you want. Democrats, I think, sincerely understand the power of the state. They understand that who controls the government especially when you're spending trillions and trillions of dollars, it matters. And government control is not something that intrinsically bothers Democrats. Republicans, I think most Republicans, whether you're a populist or you lean a little more libertarian, the idea of government control bothers Republicans. So the idea of organizing a big campaign to go out and knock on doors to ask for control of the government is just a little bit tough for a lot of Republicans to swallow.
Yeah, every word you just said, I said that makes sense to me. Hey, is there any way you can hold on through a quick news break and we'll come right back?
Absolutely, man.
All right, so we're coming right back. More with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Plus, we'll be getting to your texts throughout the show. It's the Election Day edition. And tonight, so on Facebook, we start from 7 to 8. Facebook tonight, 7 to 8. And then Facebook and on air starting at 8 tonight for election coverage. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, just a couple more minutes left right now with our friend Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, you're a frontline reporter. You went into the Keystone State and saw what it was like there. And busy is an understatement. Moving on, while we do this, let's move on from the top of the ticket to the Senate stakes and the House stakes. Pennsylvania, you've been watching that Senate race up there.
Yeah, and Casey is a very popular Democrat in a swing state. I think it's going to be very hard to beat him, even if Trump's successful. I don't think it's the case that if Trump wins Pennsylvania, then Casey loses. I think Casey's in the catbird seat, but it's still competitive. He just is from a well-liked family. He's even advertising his working relationship with Trump. I think he's probably going to hold there.
Okay. The greater landscape on the Senate, I mean, people are saying, well, the Senate goes to the Republicans, but how narrow is that?
It's narrower than I'd like. Thank you, people of Arizona. Trump is, in my estimation, going to win Arizona. That was a winnable Senate seat.
You think Lake loses? You've been saying that for weeks.
Yes. I think unless Trump wins that state by 5 or 6 points, Lake loses. And I think that would be, if for some reason it's a bare majority in the Senate, I think we're going to pick up Montana. I think we're picking up West Virginia. I think the Senate majority is safe. I think Republicans will get the Senate majority. But here's sort of so that's the good news. The bad news is this is such a good cycle for Republicans that we didn't need to just pick up a seat or two. We needed to pick up several. And so I think Ohio is still it's a tough one. I think Nevada's probably, we're out of that one. I think Arizona's going to be really tough with Lake. I think our best chance is probably, I guess, Pennsylvania is still one of our better chances. But when you look at it, the Senate funding so overwhelmingly benefited Democrats in terms of those campaign funds. I think Republicans get the good news that they control the Senate. The problem is whoever the NRSC chair is for the next cycle is going to have an uphill battle to hold the Senate in the next cycle 2 years from now. So, yeah, good news, but also we should be able to win by more. I don't think we had the strongest candidates, and I think that ends up hurting us because it hurt us last cycle. It's going to hurt us again this cycle, and I think ultimately you're going to end up in the situation where we hold the Senate for 2 years.
What do you mean next cycle? Because I've heard conservatives say this, and Oprah said it last night. People had their last chance ever to vote. There's going to be another cycle? There's going to be...
Yes.
Really?
You got to understand, Sean, okay, this is the most important election of our lifetimes, except for the next one that we'll face at the next juncture. I've been listening to this year over year, and I know your listeners are going to go nuts, and some of them are going to say, Cameron, how don't you understand? Because since I've been able to vote, every election has been either do or die, either America's ended if we don't get the right answer, and repeatedly we've gotten the wrong answer, and America's still here.
I agree that a big trajectory difference for a republic hinges on today. Completely agree with that. But both sides, when they say this will be the last time you ever get to vote, no, it's not. I've heard that. I'm like you, and I'm older than you. I've been hearing it since I was 18 years old, you know, and it's
stop letting the politicians lie to you, right? Like,
Big deal, but it's not the end of voting in our republic.
It's not even that big of a deal. And what I mean by that is now that I know that we're going to have divided government, that the Senate for at least 2 years is going to be in Republican hands, barring a disaster where Democrats sweep everything, I'm good because I don't actually want the federal government to do that much. A divided government for me is actually a good thing. That means the focus is going to be on the states. So, yes, as a Republican, I'd like Republicans to win. But as long as I've got a piece of that federal government, I feel that we can slow walk things and avoid sort of the radical sea change. So I'm optimistic about that. I think the House, the fundraising advantage in the House isn't near as big as it was in the presidential or the Senate. And I think that's still a toss up for me. And oddly, it could depend on blue state Republicans winning in New York and California to give Republicans a majority. The problem here is I don't see Republicans having a wave level majority. So if they are in the majority, they're going to still have some of the challenges they already had this past Congress.
Cameron, thank you, man. We'll pick up this conversation on the backside.